20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you, as always, for being here. I hope your Sunday and your weekend is going amazing. I hope next week or this coming week goes even more amazing for you as it's NFL draft week. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, it did not go so great for you on Saturday, but I digress. This week is going to be an epic week. Hopefully we get to unwrap some presents this upcoming week that maybe a lot of us are hoping for, or nonetheless, who cares really if we're hoping for them, not hoping for them. Hopefully they just turn out in the end and become amazing Green Bay Packers. And I can, you know, maybe help Green Bay take that step towards becoming Super Bowl contenders again. It's the time where hope springs eternal. We all get super excited. These are all players who are clearly going to become all pros and be the saviors of the franchise. And we're going to celebrate for years to come. It's going to be the most epic draft class in the history of draft classes. Who knows? Who knows? It could be another, you know, just complete bust of a draft. It could be the greatest draft of all time. It could be anything in between. That is the beautiful mystery that is the NFL draft. And I, for one, cannot freaking wait for it. I have a great show for you today. It is part two of our top 30 series. Not a series of 30 episodes, top 30 visits. There were 25 reported top 30 visits already. I did 15 scouting reports on those on our part one of the episode. I'm going to finish up with the next 10 that we know so far. If we get the next five over the course of this week, I'll try to kind of integrate them into some of the other episodes. But as of right now, we know 25 of them. Again, 15 we did already. We got 10 coming up today, so we will finalize that. Before we get into that, just a couple pieces of news and notes. First of all, it is a bittersweet announcement, to say the least, and you may have heard this if you listened to Friday's show. Andrew Murtagh, Kyle Fellows, and Maggie Loney this past Friday recorded, for now, their last episode together on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Couple things. Number one is Andrew and Kyle will still be finishing up their On the Clock series. We've got a few episodes left of that. Number two, Andrew's going to be joining me on the live draft show on Friday. I'll talk about that more in just a moment as well. Andrew and Maggie are going to be covering the draft next Friday, or this coming Friday, as they you know, kind of cover what happened on night one of the draft. But Andrew, Maggie, and Kyle collectively, their time with Pack-A-Day is coming to an end sooner rather than later. All three obviously will remain massive friends of the show. This was their decision, and it was just time for them to move on to their next chapter for the time being. Of course, Maggie, you will be able to continue to find on Packs What She Said with Perry Goldstein. Andrew and Kyle are going to continue doing the Draft Fellows together, a podcast that is specifically for the NFL draft that they're going to be doing year-round. I cannot recommend enough to make sure that you are following the Draft Fellows podcast as well as Packs What She Said. You'll be able to continue to find all three of them there. I would expect that at some point our paths are going to cross again. You'll probably see some bonus episodes, some fill-in episodes from Andrew, Maggie, and or Kyle here or there. Certainly some guest spots. You will see them, I think, again at some point. And again, there's no bad terms here or anything like that. This is only the best of things where it was time for them to kind of go and branch off in their own directions, which is always kind of the goal for everyone. And then we'll bring in new teams. And speaking of which, our new Friday team is going to be Aaron Alice, Jimmy Christensen, and Jen Curtin. It's going to be an amazing Friday team that I'm really looking forward to. But I wanted to take a moment to really thank Andrew, Kyle, and Maggie for all of their insane contributions over the course of the last 6 to 7 years. Andrew and Kyle have been day oneers. They've been with the podcast since we launched it, however many thousands plus episodes ago now. And Maggie came along not there long after. And their contributions on our Friday shows have been incredible. It has been a joy to listen to them from day one. They've only gotten better and more entertaining and funnier and more just knowledgeable from a Packers draft NFL standpoint. And I do not wish them anything but the absolute best of luck in everything they do moving forward. And like I said, my hope is that our paths will continue to cross. I know they will, but excited for their, again, their ventures that they have going right now with Packs What She Said and Draft Fellows as well. Make sure to check both of those out. And Andrew, Maggie, and Kyle, thank you so much for everything for so long. And I am here for you in any way to support you in anything you guys continue to do moving forward. All right, moving on. our plan for next week, or I should say maybe my plan for next week. I've had quite a few of you kind of ask what the plan is for this week with it being draft week. I'm going to be busy and we're going to have so much fun stuff going on. Here is my plan Monday through Saturday for next week. A couple of these times could change slightly over the course of the week, so kind of keep an eye out for it. It'll be on the YouTube channel and everything like that. But our normal weekly episodes that you're going to find are our daily shows, the daily draft, our audio episodes. All of that is going to be continuing as normal this week. However, in addition, Monday, here's my schedule. Monday, 8 a.m. I'm going to be on the Pack-A-Day radio show, of course, on the Fan Milwaukee, 8 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. My guest on Monday is going to be Aaron Nagler. 3 p.m. I'm going to be doing my live Bleacher Report Q&A. These are all central times, by the way. And then 7 p.m. on Monday, I'm going to be doing a live Pack-A-Day Q&A with Justice Mosqueda over on the YouTube channel. So make sure to check that out. That's going to be an awesome Q&A. Justice and I will break down anything, answer any questions that you want to go over prior to the draft. So 7 p.m. central time Monday, live Q&A with Justice. Tuesday, 8 a.m. again, Pack-A-Day radio show. Emery Hunt is going to be my guest on that show. Again, awesome draft analyst. Excited to talk to him. 3 p.m. live Bleacher Report Q&A. And then 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday is going to be our live Pack-A-Day members Q&A. So if you're a Pack-A-Day member, 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday. If you're not a Pack-A-Day member yet, make sure to check that out. Wednesday, again, 8 a.m. Pack-A-Day radio show. Jacob Westendorf is going to be my guest. In the afternoon, there's going to be a live event at Bay Park Square Mall. That is through Cheesehead TV. Aaron Nagler is going to be there. I believe Tom Grassi is going to be there, amongst others as well. My plan as of right now is to be attending that. Again, that is on the afternoon on Wednesday. I don't have full details as of yet, but keep an eye out for that. I think we're going to be doing kind of like a mock draft and a couple other things. 3 p.m. live Bleacher Report. Right on the Bleacher Report app. And then 7 p.m., I'm going to be live in person at Hagemeister Park in Green Bay, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Admission is free, a live in-person Q&A. If you're heading to the draft, it looks like Wednesday is going to be amazing from a weather standpoint, hitting the 70s. Hagemeister Park is right on the boardwalk downtown, right on the water. I'm going to be on the indoor portion right when you walk in and come join. It's going to be a ton of fun, 7 to 9 p.m. Wednesday for a pre-draft in-person meet and greet and Q&A. Thursday, 8 a.m., I'm going to be doing the radio show, but I'm going to be live at Buffalo Wild Wings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Our guest is going to be Ross Uglum. Make sure to come over and say hello if you're going to be in the area. Again, 8 a.m. at Buffalo Wild Wings. Then at 12 p.m., I'm going to be doing a live Pack-A-Day Q&A live on YouTube. So a draft Q&A prior to the draft on Thursday, again, noon central time. 3 p.m., I'll do the 3 to 3:30, the Bleacher Report daily show. And then 6:30 p.m., I will start live with the draft party and then cover you through the entirety of the first round of the draft. Justice may stop by if he has the opportunity, but that will probably primarily be me flying solo on Thursday night and covering you through the first round of the NFL draft. Friday, 8 a.m., Pack-A-Day radio show, Buffalo Wild Wings again from 8 to 9. Special guest Tyler Brook. Excited to talk to him. We'll break down the first pick on Thursday, assuming Green Bay didn't trade out of the first round, and get you all set for Friday. Noon central time again, live Q&A on YouTube. And then 6 p.m., I will kick off the draft party for day two. Andrew Merteg, Mark Oldacres are going to be joining for sure. Possibly Maggie Loney, possibly Tyler Brook, and possibly Justice Mosqueda. They all have open invites. They're all hoping to be able to attend, but have a couple things that they're trying to juggle at the moment. So you may see them as well. But for sure, myself, Andrew Merteg, and Mark Oldacres, really looking forward to that. Again, 6 p.m., covering you all through the second and third rounds of the NFL draft. Then Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m., I'm going to be doing a live draft party again. That will probably be just me. I'll probably only be going until about 1 p.m. Central Time. Got to get to my kiddos' soccer game for a little bit after that. And then 6 p.m. Central Time, live at Titletown Brewery, in-person Q&A. That will go from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and we'll recap everything that happened in the draft, again, live right here in Green Bay at Titletown Brewery. So excited for that as well. So that is the full schedule. Like I said, very busy. If you can't get to any of the in-persons, just know I'll be doing a lot of live stuff right there on YouTube. If you're not into the live stuff, just know that all of the normal videos and audio stuff is going to be happening per usual. And then if you want to come and see and hang out in person, we've got the Hagemeister event. We've got the Bay Park Square event. You can come see me at Buffalo Wild Wings for the radio show on Thursday and Friday, or we've got the Titletown event on Saturday as well. So a lot of opportunity. And I just am going to thank you ahead of time for all the support. I'm really looking forward to this week. It is the, in my opinion, the most fun week of the year when it comes to, you know, just talking Packers. So I look forward to it. I am excited to see a lot of you guys in person and in the live Q&As, and well, come with all of your amazing questions, and it's going to be a tremendous week. With that, let's get to our top 30 visits, part two. We're going to do all the scouting reports for the ones we haven't gotten to yet. Just a real quick reminder. Number one, if you didn't check out part one, make sure to do that. Number two is there's a reason why we go over these. I'm not going to go through it as quite as much in detail as we did in part one, but these are all players that ended up with the Packers at some point in time that were top 30 visits since 2018. All right, since Brian Gutekunst basically took over. Donovan Jennings, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, Ketan Oladapo, Omar Brown, Dontayvion Wicks, Lou Nichols, Ben Sims, Kadeem Telford, Cameron McDonald, Carl Brooks, Tariq Carpenter, Samori Toure, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Rasheed Walker, Romeo Doubs, Benji Franklin, Gene DeLance, John Fitzpatrick, Jordan Love, Josiah DeGuara, Jace Sternberger, Andre Dillard, Curtis Bolton, Randy Ramsey, Kadar Hallman, John Lovett, Manny Wilkins, Andrew Beck, Kendall Donerson, Oren Burks, Jamon Moore, MVS, Tim Boyle, and Gerhard DeBeer. Every single one of them donned the green and gold at some point in time. Maybe it was practice squad, maybe it was training camp, whatever it might be. At some point, they became members of the Packers organization. That is 36 different players that were in for top 30 visits from 2018 to now that became Green Bay Packers. That is out of a possible 210. That is 17%, roughly. That means that if there are another, again, full top 30 that we get this year, 17% of that would be five players. So five players on the list of top 30 visits this year will likely become Packers at some point in time. That is pretty good odds, right? So that's why we get to know these players very well, because there is a very strong chance. And some of these, there was one draft where they had nine players, 2022, I believe it was, nine players became Green Bay Packers at some point. So you might have a third of these players basically become Packers at some point in time. And by the way, of that 2022 class, like even down the road in future free agents, it could add to that. It could get to 10, 12, 15 at some point. Who the heck knows? But that's why we go over this in great detail. So we'll get to those scouting reports. If you missed part one, the players that we covered in part one, Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, Emeka Egbuka, Isaiah Bond, Torrey Horton, Ty Felton, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, Tyleek Williams, TJ Sanders, Michael Williams, Shamar Stewart, James Pierce, Siobhan Revel, and Trey Amos. So those are the ones we covered in part one. Make sure to, again, check it out if you haven't already. And with that, we can get to our top 30 visits, part two. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol, and you're going to want to check this out. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but when hanging out with my friends during the college basketball tournament, I gave it a shot, and believe me, it's the real deal. And guess what? Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warm weather, so before you have those drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or go to your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. We're going to start with offensive tackle Anthony Belton out of NC State, 6'6", 336 pounds, RAS of 7.72, so a 77th percentile athlete at offensive tackle. He's pretty close to being a Packers type. He's slightly off on the three cone and slightly under an 8.0 RAS, but for all intents and purposes, he is very much a Packers type at offensive tackle. He's 96th on the consensus big board, so right around kind of like a late third round pick. Had a 69.1 PFF grade on 802 snaps in 2024. And my fit for him in Green Bay would be a depth piece along the offensive line that can develop into a swing tackle and eventually into a starter. So my guess is 2025 would be like the 8th, 9th, or 10th offensive lineman on the roster. He's probably battling for one of those spots. Then Next year, I think he's probably battling to be probably the top swing tackle. Maybe Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom are your starting tackles next year. I think he would be ready to come in and be that swing tackle in 2026. And then in the future, I do think he'll have the ability to compete for a starting job along the offensive line as well. So starting off as a depth piece, next year, the swing piece, active on game days, one of the first guys up off the bench if there's an injury, and then in the future, a starter. My notes on him, very strong hands, has a fantastic demeanor, loves to finish plays, loves to look for work, loves to, you know, go and play through the whistle. He has that classic offensive line mentality that you want to see. Incredible size at 6'6", 336. Tested well in everything except the bench press, which is interesting. And he's already a pretty physical player. Add on some strength to that frame, and he's going to be really cooking at that point in time. Again, plays through the whistle. He does get caught lunging and off balance from time to time. He's got to clean up just his balance and make sure that he doesn't get over aggressive and starts lunging. And defensive players will definitely use that against him and did so in college. He can play too high at 6'6". That's a very common thing. And he's kind of got to make sure he's, you know, bending at the knees rather than at the waist. And again, not getting caught off balance and not having that height be a detriment for him. Again, he doesn't have great balance. Will end up on the ground or out of position. Got to clean that up. I think he has the potential to be an impact run blocker, especially if he can put on a little bit more of that functional strength. His lack of first step quickness can get him into trouble, and you know, speed rushers can just kind of beat him around the edge. And overall, just needs to improve his footwork and his hand placement. If he can get some of that stuff done, again, I think he can work his way into a swing tackle and then eventually a starter down the road. Good prospect. I think late third is probably right about right for kind of a prospect like Belton, but he's a good player, again, with some developmental upside. They took him into round three, would have no real issue with it in any way, shape, or form. All right, next up, John Williams, offensive tackle out of Cincinnati. 6'4", 322 pounds, 7.60 relative athletic score, but did not do the broad jump or the vertical jump. He's pretty close to a Packers type, but was a little bit off on the three cone. And again, relative athletic score wasn't an eight or higher, which again, usually they look for, but he's close enough. He's 246th on the consensus big board, had a 76.8 PFF grade on 826 snaps. The fit for him is a late round or undrafted free agent that would compete for the ninth or 10th spot this season. Likely more of like a practice squad player, but definitely does have some developmental upside. My first note on him is he looks the part. You turn on the tape, 6'4", 322, good movement skills, and you're like, yeah, he looks like a NFL offensive tackle. No question about it. Sometimes you get these players that maybe don't have the athleticism, especially when you're talking about a guy that's, you know, 250 on the consensus big board, right? Like sometimes they don't have the movement skills or the size or the length, or they just, you know, something doesn't feel right. With Williams, he looks like an NFL offensive lineman. He looks the part. Good, but not great movement skills. He can get to where he needs to go. There's no real concern there or anything, but I wouldn't say that he's, you know, like a top mover or anything like that. Needs to do a better job of maintaining his blocks. People fall off of him just a little bit too easily. He has a good ability to recover if he gets beat. Now, the goal is to, of course, not get beat, but it happens to the best of them, right? So if you do get beat, you want to have that ability to get back, recover, and still get involved in that play. So it's not just, you know, the quarterback is dead to rights. He does a good job getting back and recovering, even if he does get beat on an initial move. Again, another player that I liked his overall demeanor. I think there's some upside as a late round pick. Good balance, good effort, never too out of control. Just nice, steady, easy. He can get off, beat off the edge. He can get beat off the edge with speed. Easy, Andy. Extremely rough performance in the Shrine game. I was starting to maybe get a little bit more excited about Williams. And then the Shrine game, not that I want to put too much stock into a all-star game where you're playing next to players that you're not used to playing next to, probably doing a couple things a little bit differently from what your coach has worked with you in practice on, you know, working with different cadence, and your mind's just spinning, right? So I don't want to put too much stock into it, but when he went to the Shrine game and had the opportunity to compete against some good competition, he did not have a great game in that one. In fact, it was a pretty rough performance. He did have the largest hands at the combine of all offensive linemen. And you can see that on tape too. He probably relies upon them a little bit too much, but he does have some big mitts on him, which you love to see. To me, he projects as a zone blocking, more kind of pass protecting offensive lineman. Doesn't give you much as a mauler in the run game, and I don't think he's going to get to that point, but he's a fun player that's going to fit more kind of, again, zone blocking scheme and pass protecting offenses. And I do think that late seventh round, undrafted free agent type, John Williams would be a good selection or a good signing for Green Bay. Next up, Jacob Bayer, center out of Arkansas State, 6'2.5", 306 pounds, is a 7.04 relative athletic score, did all the testing, did bad in the agility drills, but was 93rd percentile in the bench press. He's not a normal Packers type, was low on the three cone, low on the short shuttle, and does not have any previous offensive tackle experience in college, which usually they look for. He is 345th on the consensus big board, had an 81.5 grade this past year on 951 snaps. His fit is a undrafted free agent with some upside who could work his way onto the practice squad and eventually to maybe be an active interior offensive lineman, like a swing interior offensive lineman on game days. Think of like a Evan Dietrich Smith or a Lucas Patrick type, right? Somebody that has some intangibles, works really hard, has a couple of really nice traits, isn't going to be overwhelmed by anything, and probably just doesn't have that, you know, 1A body type slash just kind of dominance, but it's got some things that you like. And with that, I think he could come in again, be a practice squad guy, work his way up to like the 10th offensive lineman, work his way into a swing interior offensive lineman and somebody that is actually active on game days. And that's if you can get that as an undrafted free agent, well, it's a worthwhile investment. Some notes, very strong upper body with a very low center of gravity, both very good things. Here's the thing I'll say about him. Arkansas State played Michigan this past year. If you may know, they have a couple defensive tackles at Michigan that are pretty darn good. One's going to go top five. The other's probably going to go in the first round. Kenneth Grant, first round. And then Mason Graham in the, you know, probably top five category. This, to me, was proof of concept for him. It showed that he could hang with some of the best defensive tackles that college football had to offer this past year. Was it a unbelievable great game against Michigan? No. But what I saw from him was a player that was not, you know, overwhelmed by the talent of against Michigan, which showed me that he can hang, which again showed me that there is some legitimate potential upside here for Jacob Bayer. A lot of times you get these small school teams that are playing against Michigan and they're going against, you know, two first round draft picks, and all of a sudden they look like totally different players. For Bayer, kind of looked the same. Didn't look overwhelmed, didn't look like shock and awe because they're playing against these guys. He held his own. I was overall very impressed. And a little bit of proof of concept there. I did think he struggled in the Senior Bowl. He's probably a center only with very limited versatility. Maybe he could play a little bit of guard in a pinch as well, but he's probably more of just a center. Does have shorter arms. He's not a mauler despite that great strength. He's more of a technician at the position. The craziest thing about Jacob Bayer, had an ACL injury, tore his ACL, returned in 5 months to play. 5 months. That is a ridiculously impressive recovery. Goes to show kind of his work ethic and his toughness as well. And again, I'll just say it one more time. I think the Michigan game gave him some legs and some real reason that a scout or a team might look at him and say, all right, there's something there. Is he probably a draftable guy? No, outside of, again, maybe late seventh round, but you can get him as an undrafted free agent. I think he'd be a very nice undrafted free agent signing. Next up, offensive tackle, Dalton Cooper, Oklahoma State, 6'5", 326, 9.06 relative athletic score, did all the testing, was a 94th percentile offensive tackle in the 40-yard dash, despite being 85th percentile in weight. So he's got good size, good speed. He's not quite a Packers type. He did not quite hit the three cone. He's a little bit older. He's 24 years old. They're slightly off, but they're very close. He's very much probably a Packers type, even if it's not a 1A type kind of guy. He's definitely in the conversation based off of his overall testing. He's 369th on the consensus big board, had a 67.9 PFF grade on 642 snaps in 2024. The fit here is likely a practice squad player who has some gifts, but needs desperately to figure out how to use them. He's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got athleticism. He's had starts in college. Like he's got some stuff working for him. Oklahoma State, we're not talking about a small school here, but just still a little bit lost as a actual offensive lineman and how he needs to use his hands and his feet and everything. It's going to take a little bit of time. The notes, tested well in just about everything. Immediately looks the part when you get him on tape. Good movement skills, can get to anywhere he needs to on the field. I will say he gets dictated to more than he dictates. So if you're going up against a big physical defensive lineman, they're going to control that battle. It's rare that he's the one that's dictating terms and controlling the battle. So that's something he needs to work on a little bit. Struggles to maintain blocks, struggled in the All-Star games. He went to two different All-Star games, struggled in both of them. Has some positional versatility at tackle or guard that's projectable. The projection is that he's going to be able to play some guard as well. He's primarily played tackle in college. He's 24 years old. He's a two-year starter. He's definitely susceptible to a bull rush. What he needs is a very good offensive line coach, probably a permanent position, decide if you want him at tackle or guard. And he probably needs a couple things to go right in his development. I think he starts as potentially a 10th offensive lineman, but more likely a practice squad guy. Next up, offensive lineman Essa Pohl out of Washington State, 6'5", 323, a 7.36 relative athletic score, did all the testing, was a below average broad jump, below average 10-yard split, and a below average three cone. He's pretty close on a Packers fit standpoint. Didn't hit three cone and didn't hit the 8.0 relative athletic score, but he's not super far off. He's 313th on the consensus big board at a 68.1 grade on 967 snaps in 2024. The fit for him is a 10th offensive lineman with upside that needs time to develop. Does this sound familiar? To me, if he's drafted, I think he makes the team. I think there's enough upside here with Essa that if you draft, even if it's a late seventh rounder, my guess is he doesn't get cut. He makes it as a 10th offensive lineman, that he would get protected because there's enough upside there. If he goes as an undrafted free agent, then you probably release him and try to get him back on the practice squad. So drafted on the 53 as the 10th offensive lineman, not drafted, probably a practice squad guy. Very, very solid athleticism. Played left tackle primarily at Washington State. You could see the potential upside. Has the movement to get to the second level. Definitely needs to figure out how to sustain blocks longer. I do feel like a move to guard could help him out quite a bit. I think he's going to be a little bit better on the inside than outside. Here's the crazy part about Essa Pohl. He did not start playing football until 2021. 4 years ago. He just started, like, did not play any football prior to that. I mean, it's remarkable. He's a former basketball player. Those movement skills show on tape. He can have this really, or he has this really nice blend of patience and physicality. So he doesn't rush things too much, but he can also be very physical when he needs to. To me, he right now is more of an athlete than a well-rounded offensive lineman. And the thing here is that he's just getting started. He's just started playing football. He's a baby at the position still. And it's remarkable how far along that he is. So he's probably needing a position change, definitely some technique work, a really good offensive line coach, but there is legitimate upside here. And the fact that he is this, you know, that he could even potentially be a draftable guy despite just starting football 4 years ago, it's pretty dang impressive. And of all these kind of undraftable sort of offensive linemen, I liked Pohl just a little bit more. He would be the guy that if Green Bay was going to extend a seventh round pick to one of these guys that are, again, kind of in that undraftable range, it would probably be Essa Pohl for me. All right, next up, defensive end Jordan Burch out of Oregon, 6'4", 279 pounds. Did not get a relative athletic score because he didn't bench, do the broad jump, the vertical jump, or any of the agility testing. Was a 91st percentile 40-yard dash at 88th percentile weight. It's hard to say if he's a Packers fit. He has slightly shorter arms and, again, didn't do the broad jump and doesn't have a relative athletic score to kind of compare it to here. He's 72nd on the consensus big board at a 77.6 PFF grade on 428 snaps in 2024. His fit is as a rotational edge rusher with upside who would probably play immediately 15-ish snaps per game, maybe 20 if things went well. So gets right in that rotation with Brenton Cox, Enigbari, LVN, and Rashawn Gary would be my guess. The notes, great size and length, immediately flashes quickness and power. He has raw, natural power, which you love to see. He actually finds a way to bend the edge a little bit, which for his size is remarkable. They played him outside as a defensive end, but also as a 3-4 defensive end a little bit. So he has a little bit of versatility there. He's stout at the point of attack and run defense. He projects as a very strong run defender. There's some things he needs to get cleaned up as a run defender, but he projects long-term as a very good run defender. He doesn't have the elite speed to chase plays down from behind. So I always talk about closing the back door and Clay Matthews kind of screaming off the edge if he's unblocked and just making it sure that there's no cutback lanes. Matthews has that speed to just chase it down and shut it down. I think there's not quite that great speed here from Jordan Burch. Only 34 pressures, but 10 sacks. He can really, I'll say it one more time. I have it like three different times here on my notes, but he really plays at times with remarkable strength. Like just pushing guys around, just bullying people. I wish that was a little bit more consistent, but man, does it show up on tape. lacks creativity as a rusher. That's something he's going to have to get better at. And I'm not sure that there's ideal upside here, but I think he can become a really good player. And again, in the meantime, is a really nice rotational piece that you're going to find ways to utilize. Again, whether it's as a run defender or, again, 10 sacks this past year. He's got some productivity. I liked him. If you're in doubt in the first three rounds, by the way, if you're struggling with anything or there maybe isn't a player you love and you can't trade down, just take a defensive end. I really like this edge class. I think it's, you know, you hear about running back, you hear about defensive tackle. I think the edge is a very underrated draft class in this one. So excited about that. And I think Jordan Burch could be a fit in the third round for Green Bay. Next up, defensive lineman, Elijah Roberts out of SMU, 6'3 and a half, 285 pounds, 6.84 relative athletic score, did not do the bench or the three cone, had an 11th percentile short shuttle, a very, very bad short shuttle score. He is a Packers fit-ish, not at edge, but at defensive tackle, save for the weight. He's about 10 pounds short at defensive tackle of kind of their weight threshold, but hits everything else. He does not fit the Packers thresholds as a defensive end. He's 144th on the consensus big board, had a 91.3 grade from PFF on 733 snaps this year, and had a 91.4 grade in 2023. So he's been a remarkably consistent player from a grading standpoint for PFF over the course of the last couple of seasons. His fit, I think there's some defensive end / defensive tackle flexibility. He had high-end productivity in college. This is a player that you bring in. I think you can compete a little bit with Colby Wooden on the interior of the defensive line, with Brenton Cox and friends on the, you know, rotational piece of the defensive end position. And you just have to kind of figure out where he fits best. But this is a player that to me would make the 53-man roster. He's got great size and strength, moves really well for his size, can put him at defensive end, but I do wonder if a move inside a defensive tackle might be better for him long-term. And this is a very split thing. There are draft guides and people who think he's a defensive end purely. There are others who think that a move inside would be better for him. So it's very interesting and kind of polarizing of what they think. I don't think you pigeonhole him. I think you bring him in knowing that he might be an end, he might be a tackle, but there's a lot of talent there and you kind of figure out the rest later. Probably more of a rotational defensive end, but I do think he can be a good one if he does stay at defensive end, that is. He's a defensive tackle. I think there's a little bit more upside there. Projects as a good run defender, but needs to be a little bit more aware and focused on his assignment when setting the edge. Sometimes he gets sucked inside and kind of loses track of it a little bit, but when he does his job, he does a pretty nice job of setting the edge. He's not going to be the most dynamic playmaker or edge rusher, just not who he is as a player. He needs to work with his power and his strong hands. He needs to win with his power and his strong hands. So that's where he kind of is best at. He's got good power. He's got strong hands. He can win with those two. He's not, again, the flashiest, sexiest, you know, pass rusher in the world, but that's how he wins, power and hands. He may, again, work better as a pass rushing three technique. He had 69 total pressures with 9 sacks in 2024, so extremely productive at SMU, which, if you remember, was a playoff team this past year. High-end productivity, 21.1% pass rush win rate, 19.1% pressure rate. Again, high PFF scores. This is a unique player, not completely dissimilar to Carl Brooks, where you just bring him in. You're not sure where he's ultimately going to play. Brooks ended up playing more of that three technique role, but you bring him in, figure out the rest later, and just hope that he can kind of carry over that great production from college into the NFL. And you may have to kind of move him around to figure out where that best fit ultimately might be. All right, three left. Cornerback Jason Marshall out of Florida, 6 foot, 194 pounds, 9.42 relative athletic score, didn't do bench or the agility drills. He's a Packers type, save for the fact that we don't know his three cone. So if that was really bad, maybe he wouldn't be, but everything else he hits. 241st on the consensus big board, had a 71.2 grade on 447 snaps this past year. The fit here is that there are injury and effort concerns, and it sort of clouds his evaluation. It's probably why they brought him in for a top 30 visit. To me, he's a seventh rounder fringe undrafted free agent guy that would fight for a roster spot at the back end. I do think he does a really nice job of using the sidelines to his advantage. Smooth transitions from backpedal to turning and running with the wide receiver. He's a bad tackler. There are plays where he tackles well, but it is super inconsistent. And there's a lot of plays where he tackles very poorly, and there isn't great effort as a tackler either. It's a solid blitzer off the edge and disguises it very well. He teases some high-end ability in man-to-man coverage. Like, you watch him on some man-to-man coverage plays and it looks really good. Then there's other plays where it just feels like his foot's not on the gas or he's not fully engaged, and it's just a little bit disappointing. Size and length allows him to bat away a lot of passes. His lack of ball skills and takeaways were noteworthy. It's been a couple of years since he's had a takeaway. Here's the other thing. He's going to be a back of the roster type player, and he projects as a terrible special teams player, which he's going to have to do in order to make a team. If he wants to be a fifth or sixth corner and kind of make it, he's going to have to go out and excel on special teams. It's not something he's done a ton of, and I don't like how he projects for it. At the end, there's some stuff to like here, but I feel like there's just too many holes in his game. I didn't love the effort. I didn't love the tackling. I don't think he's going to be a special teams guy, and I don't think he's going to be a good enough corner to warrant a roster spot just for being a corner. So there's some stuff there that I watch, and I'm like, he could be a corner in this league. I really think so, but I think there's just too many holes in this game, too many question marks. I'll let somebody else kind of figure it out. Next up, corner Micah Robinson out of Tulane, 5'11", 183 pounds, 6.77 relative athletic score, a 4.38 40, but an 8 percentile short shuttle and only 31st percentile in weight. So superpower speed, kryptonite agility, and he is definitely a little bit undersized from a weight standpoint. He is not a Packers type based on agility and weight. That is not what they usually go for. He is not ranked on the consensus big board. At an 84.3 PFF grade on 546 snaps, this is, to me, his fit is a really, really enjoyable undrafted free agent signing. Probably doesn't get a bunch of bonus, and I think he could actually make it. I really do. I like this tape, and I think there's something there. He's a true outside corner. He has a good backpedal and then can transition quickly to closing moving forward. So as your backpedal and then quickly bursting to the ball, that's where you see him kind of come in with that 4.38 40 speed. He will gamble rather than making the correct and or safe play. That's something that you need to clean up a little bit or maybe a lot. He will get grabby at the catch point from time to time. It's not a lot, but it will definitely happen. I like how he attacks the ball at its highest point. His feet do get stuck in mud, and that change of direction or the lack thereof really does show. He can jump routes with the speed that 4.340 speed does play. In a way, he's sort of like a very poor man's Maxwell Hairston. Like if you liked Hairston but didn't get him in round one, and then you're sitting at the end of round seven or undrafted free agency, Micah Robinson is, like you said, a very poor man's Maxwell Hairston with that 4.3840 speed. Hairston's, of course, even faster than that. He can jump routes with that speed. You got to get him to play safer and not gamble quite as much. Fantastic. So one of the plays that he had on tape is there's a run play to the right side. Running back breaks it. He's gone. Touchdown. Except in this particular play, Robinson is all the way on the other side, beelines it diagonally all the way to the other side of the field, probably 80 yards on a sprint, and tackles him at about trips him up at about the 2 yard line. Unbelievable effort on the play. And showing off that 4.38 40 speed. Running back probably had like 100% chance of scoring a touchdown once he hit the open field. And Robinson made an unreal play to keep him out of the end zone. Overall, just think he'd be a really good undrafted free agent signing. I wouldn't have any issue if they spent a seventh round pick on him. I liked him. I liked the tape. I think there's a little bit of something there with Micah Robinson. Last but not least is Taylor Elgersma, the quarterback out of Laurier. I'm going to say Laurier in Canada. It might be Laurier. I don't know. Who cares? 6'5", 227 pounds, doesn't have a relative athletic score, 5% in the vert, or fifth percentile athlete in the vertical jump, 23rd percentile on the broad jump, 11th percentile in the short shuttle, so he's not a great athlete. You can't tell if he's a Packer via testing, but he does not seem like a super athletic player, which usually they like at quarterback, but hey, you never quite know. Is 438th on the consensus big board, does not have a PFF grade because he did not play American college football. His fit is a camp arm, probably. You give him an opportunity to maybe compete a little bit for that number three quarterback with Sean Clifford, but he is probably somebody that you bring in either just for a rookie tryout in rookie mini camps, or maybe you bring in as an undrafted free agent and you see what he's got. And he's probably, like I said, a camp arm that is probably fighting to make the practice squad. There is no real all 22 out there. Thankfully, Dusty Evely was able to find a little bit of it. He did a great breakdown of Elgersma over on acmepackingcompany.com. I recommend that. Again, I have very little to go off of here, but what I saw, and mostly again due to Dusty Evely, check out that article. Pocket passer, can step up in the pocket and take a hit. He's not afraid to throw over the middle of the field. Has a basic understanding of looking off defenders and going through progressions. Throws a tight spiral, has limited mobility. Just didn't get to see enough. But go check out that article from Dusty Evely, and you can learn a little bit more, or a lot more, about Taylor Algersma. Love Dusty's breakdowns. They're worth it. Go check that out again over at acmepackingcompany.com. All right, that's it. Those are the last 10 that we have not gone over yet. Again, five that they still have. If they used them, maybe we get reports on them, or maybe those will happen early next week. But our ones we went over today: Anthony Belton, offensive tackle out of NC State; John Williams, the offensive tackle out of Cincinnati; Jacob Bayer, the center out of Arkansas State; Dalton Cooper, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State; Essa Pohl, offensive lineman out of Washington State; Jordan Birch, the defensive end out of Oregon; Elijah Roberts, defensive lineman out of SMU; Jason Marshall Jr., the corner out of Florida; Micah Robinson, the corner out of Tulane; and Taylor Algersma, the quarterback out of Laurier in Canada. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate you a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Stinkle, Jen Wright, Ian Houle, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.